Let's call upon our God now in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon the preaching of the word. Let's pray. O Lord, make us attentive to your word today. What we hear, let us do. We remember the Israelites who refused to enter the land at your direction. They condemned themselves to death in the wilderness. They condemned their children to 40 years wandering in the wilderness because they did not believe and act on your word. Enable us to encourage one another today with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we extol your goodness and greatness. Lord, let us heed the warnings of your word. Let us hear its encouragements. Let us enjoy the fellowship of the saints and make this indeed a day of rest for us, that we would be able to put aside all the affairs of this life, that we may rest from the world and rest in you. Lord, we need the rest for the strength for our warfare. And so bless us, bless your servant, bless your word. Grant to us what we need to understand it with your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing in our series on Ephesians, coming to the end, nearing to the end. Ephesians 6 is where we're at. Before we read that, I'm going to just encourage you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnal to read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. And that's found at the back of the hymnal, beginning on page 893. Lord's Day 45. Question 116 asks, why do Christians need to pray? And it answers, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Question 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. And third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. What has God, question 118, what has God commanded us to ask of him? It answers, everything we need spiritually and physically has embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And then what is this prayer? And it answers with the Lord's Prayer, which we will be looking at in more detail this afternoon, Lord's Day 46. But we see that this Lord's Day goes really closely along with our scripture reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 again, and our scripture reading is from verses 18 to the end of the epistle. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And that ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it in our hearing this morning. I'll encourage you to have that passage open again. Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at verse 18 in particular, but also the other two verses that go with that, verses 19 and 20. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how is your prayer life? That's a question that few of us readily answer. We usually are hesitant to answer, and or we're not very confident in our response. We wished we prayed more often, or we wished that we were better at praying. The majority, if not all of us, would not say, you know, I feel really good about my prayer life. We're probably more often than not thinking to ourselves, why am I so bad at doing something that is so good? Or how can something I'm so bad at be God's will for my life? But you know, we're not just inspired when we're told that we ought to pray, but when we're told how we are to pray. For example, we read in our Lord's Day, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, that prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness that God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. What that is saying to us is that we're not just being told that we ought to pray. It's saying to us how we are to pray. And there's such a richness in Scripture as well in the prayers of others that teach us how to do that. Many within a more evangelical tradition assume that real prayer is a lot more spontaneous and extemporaneous. You know, it needs to come from the heart. And there is some truth to that, of course. We need to be able to pray in our own words. But let us not neglect the riches that God has given us, such as in our Forms and Prayers book, or the Valley of Vision, a book of Puritan prayers, or a more recent book, some of you may be familiar with this, Every Moment Holy. There's actually two volumes of that, which are very helpful prayers that you can pray in different occasions throughout the day or the night. There are so many resources, and we should not be afraid to use them. When Jesus was in his greatest moment of trial on the cross, what was it that came out of his mouth? It was Scripture. Scripture utterances and Scripture prayers. And when the disciples went out to sing prayers on the night of Jesus' betrayal, they sang from the so-called Hallel, Psalms 113 to 118. And when Jonah was in the belly of a fish, he prayed from Psalm 42, verse 7, all your waves and billows have gone over me. And so this is how we are to pray. This is what inspires us. Here in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul closes off with some lessons on prayer. He's already given some examples of how to do this We looked at this some time ago in chapter 3, Ephesians 3, in verses 14 to 21, where he says, I bow before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he utters this prayer. You may remember that very well-known passage. Our theme this morning is our secret resource, prayer. We'll look at this with three points for this morning, a little bit different than in what's in the bulletin. First of all times, and then secondly, with all supplications, and then thirdly, with all perseverance. So at all times, with all supplications, and with all perseverance. So first of all, at all times, what is meant by that? When Paul says in this passage, pray always, or another place, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Well, this is a lifestyle. He's focusing on a person-to-person relationship with God. This is a life lived out in the presence of the Lord. We live, as that Latin phrase says, coram Deo. And you're familiar with that phrase, no doubt. If you're not, it means before God's face. We live coram Deo. Ole Helsby, a famous author on this topic, put it this way. He said, prayer is a condition of mind, an attitude of heart, which God recognizes as prayer, whether it manifests itself in quiet thinking, in sighing, or in audible words. Dr. Sinclair Ferguson put it this way. He said, the wise Christian, therefore, adopts what we might call the sanctuary principle. The sanctuary principle, keeping within the heart a place of devotion to the Lord from which all else is excluded. Let me read that again. The wise Christian, therefore, adopts what we might call the sanctuary principle, keeping within the heart a place of devotion to the Lord from which all else is excluded. What a wonderful way that is to put it. A sanctuary principle, keeping within the heart a place of devotion for God. That's what it means to pray at all times. Now, the character of prayer must be humble. It must be sincere. Coldness and formality, that's the death of prayer. We can stage play in the sanctuary and play act in church, but this is a killer to really what prayer is. God looks at the heart. Prayer must come from the heart. And you may remember that this is how our catechism actually explains it so beautifully, so well, when it lists three essential points about how we are to approach God. Question and answer 117 speaks about how we are to properly approach God. It points out that the Lord doesn't approve of us coming with a divided heart. We do that more than we often realize. We do that when we forget to rely on our true God. We start to trust other things. No, we're not to come with a divided heart. Not putting our trust in other idols. We must remember that He's our Father. He is the great, the Almighty God, the one who created heaven and earth, as we just confessed this morning. And the second thing it points out to us is that we have to know ourselves and our needs, that we're sinful beings in need of His grace, need of His mercy. So having a proper attitude, like expressed in Isaiah 66, where it says, this is the Lord speaking, on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Thirdly, it says that our prayers should be grounded on the work of Jesus Christ. God has to be your Father through Him. When we plead on the basis of Him, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. And this means that we have to have that confidence and that simple childlike trust. We need to have that assurance that God is truly our Father. We have to see Him as our Father who purchased us through Jesus Christ and is waiting to bless us with His own fullness. And then when we look at this passage again, it adds more thoughts to this. It kind of fills it out a little bit more. As we notice in verse 18, it also says that we're to pray in the Spirit. Now, what is that saying to us? What is that expression saying? Is this talking about, you know, having an extra experience of being able to speak in tongues or something? Not when we look at the rest of Scripture. Praying in the Spirit means with the assistance of the Spirit. It implies that we need His help and that we're helpless without Him. When you think of the words of Romans 8, so beautifully expressed there, Romans 8, 26 and 27, where it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We need to rely on His power and His wisdom, not our own. Relying on the Spirit. And it also has that idea too that we pray, that we're filled with Spirit-filled words. What does that mean, to be filled with Spirit-filled words? Well, by knowing the Scriptures, by meditating upon them. Again, think of Jesus as He's on the cross. What's He praying? It's Scripture. So meditate on the Psalms. Bring Scripture utterances in your prayer. That helps you know better how to pray. That's what it means to be reformed. Where we say that we read the Bible, preach the Bible, sing the Bible, and pray the Bible. Being filled with the Spirit. That also has that submission. There's to be that submission to God's will. Having our minds, thoughts, and wills mastered by God's will. We need our wills and our minds aligned with the will of God. And so, congregation, is this your attitude? Is this your lifestyle? Do you pray on all occasions? Is your lifestyle reflecting a sincerity of heart? Sometimes it's possible for the people of God to pray with the wrong motives. Sometimes the prayers of God's people are overlooked because there's no heart in them. Sometimes that happens. There's no repentance. James says, as you may recall those words, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend on your pleasures." No, we need to pray in the way that our catechism calls us to pray, in the way that Scripture calls us to pray, with a heartfelt devotion to God and with a trust in Him. Well, that brings us to our second point, where we're to come to Him with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. With all prayer and supplication for all the saints. And that simply means prayers of all kinds. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You probably heard of that acronym before, Acts, A-C-T-S, which is a helpful way of remembering how we're to come to our God. Consider adoration. That has to do with our praising the Lord. That's true already in the Old Testament, where the saints were known for praising the Lord. It comes to light, especially in the book of Psalms. The Psalms are songs of praise. A good part of the Psalms are written on that note, right at the very beginning and right at the very end. The Old Testament saints, you know, unlike what a lot of people might say today, the Old Testament saints were very devoted to God. Their hearts were filled with devotion through the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Psalm 33, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. While I live, I will praise the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 34 and verse 2. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Psalm 34, verse 3. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 150, verse 2. Adoration. Consider also confession. This is important too, because we're coming before a holy God who cannot tolerate sin. It's inevitable that sinful thoughts and deeds of the past and the present will come to mind. And we need to pray like we did this morning, Psalm 32, with repentance, or Psalm 51, or Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, which say, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. So we need the Lord's forgiveness, always. If you, O Lord, should mark our iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Psalm 130. Confession. And consider also thanksgiving. Since we received all blessing from God, certainly after we have asked, it is self-evident that we ought to be doing what? Returning thanks, giving God the thanks. The Bible is full of direct and indirect admonitions to give thanks to the Lord. And the clearest one is within this book, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to have a prayer of thanksgiving. Now that is something sadly missing. It's hard for us to learn to pray, but it's also hard for us to learn to give thanks. That's our natural bent, isn't it? We see it with our children. Thanksgiving doesn't come natural to children. No, it's complaining and grumbling. It takes constant, hard work, tireless work, to teach them to be thankful. And it's the same for us. We must train ourselves to give thanks to the Lord. Just how much the Lord recognizes a thankful heart can be seen in the story in Luke 17 of the 10 lepers. Children, boys and girls, you remember that story that's in the Bible where these 10 lepers, these people who had this terrible disease that ravaged their skin, that made it turn white, and pieces would fall off their faces, off their nose and their ears, all the extremities, their hands, their fingers, and they come up to Jesus, and he healed them. And then they're told to go to show themselves to the priests, to the priest, according to the law, to get a certificate. And they all went on their way, but only one of them came back to thank the Lord. Fell at his feet. The Lord would have us to be thankful for all that he's given us. As well, consider supplication. Supplication. And by this is meant simply making requests. Making requests. Our prayer life will be poor if we do not make requests. You do not have because you do not ask. As is written in Philippians chapter 4, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we come to God as he calls us to him and pray for the things that we need, he will grant them according to his will. That's what he promises. As Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in the Lord at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. However, if he cannot give it to you, he will do as he did when he spoke to the sons of Zebedee in Matthew chapter 20, or to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he speaks tenderly and sympathetically about the matter until you yourself understand that he cannot grant your prayer. As 1 Corinthians 12 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So do you pray with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication? Let's remember to pray with all prayer and intercession. Well, it leads us to see thirdly, with all perseverance. With all perseverance. Verse 18, which also says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that's a flashback to the Lord's words to his disciples in when he was on earth in his ministry, when he said, be on guard, keep awake, and watch and pray for so that you will not enter into temptation. We mentioned last week the 2 common schemes of the devil. One is he removes Christians from the world by killing them through persecution, right? And then the other way is he removes Christians from the word by drawing them away from it. That's the common way that's the scheme of the devil. That's how he often has worked throughout history and still to this day. Well, there's another thing that the devil does. He gets us to try to stop praying. And he gets us to think that, you know, other people, they'll take care of praying for that. I'm not such a spiritual person. They're more spiritual than I am, so I don't really need to do this. Someone else will take care of it. And so we might as well leave it with them. But have you ever thought that real prayer is not just for others? It's not just for others. It's for you. You have a calling, not just them. We're always, all of us, called to watch and pray. We're in a war zone. Alertness is always essential when you're living in a war zone, right? Think of people in Ukraine right now. They're at war. We are as well. And the Word of God calls us to perseverance. That implies a resolute determination to see something through to its conclusion. That's what perseverance means here. Prayer is a responsibility. It's an obligation. And that means that you and I are called to pray always, in all situations, with all kinds of requests, regardless of our station in life. So regardless of what Satan suggests to you, to not be a person of prayer, no. Bathe your life. Bathe your family, your church, the entire world in prayer, and see how your prayers will provide blessing. And thus, we're to make supplication for all the saints. Whenever we petition the throne of grace, what does Jesus tell us to do? He says to pray, "Our Father," the address that we'll be looking at this afternoon, "Our Father." That means that we remember to bring the concerns of brothers and sisters to Christ the Lord, and not just to those who we know. No, our prayers are to circle the globe. We obviously cannot pray for every Christian in the world by name, but we pray generally in an ever-widening circle of intercession for Christians in the West, in North America, in Europe, in South America, Africa, as well as the suffering Christians, for Christians in positions of power, with their specific temptations that they have. Isolated Christians. Christians of different ethnic and cultural diversity. We pray that the kingdom of Satan may diminish while the kingdom of God continues to grow from that small morsel, like a mustard seed, into a giant tree. For no stronghold of Satan is safe from the remotest saint who knows of the power of prayer and what it can do for the world. And then you notice, well, Paul's words, verses 19 and 20. "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That is also the supplicating prayer that is needed for all the saints, God's servants especially. For as any pastor will tell you, they know that no one needs more prayer than they do. They can't pretend to ever think that they can labor in their own strength. Remember C.H. Spurgeon when he was asked that question, "What is your success in ministry?" How did he answer? "It's the prayers of my people." How thankful they can be, and how thankful it is when God's servants know and have the prayers of the saints. They need it. For they're weak. They can do nothing on their own strength. So make sure you do pray. And if you are, thank you. So it leads us to the question that God's word confronts you with today. How's your prayer life? Do you pray? That's a question that only you personally can answer. Prayer isn't only attending a public worship service when your pastor and your fellow Christians can see you, that you're present. Prayer is not always sitting in your family devotions, in your home where mom and dad lead the family, and maybe even boys and girls, you have that opportunity to pray yourself at a family meal. You have to do it yourself. You are personally responsible to maintain the lines of communication between yourself and your God. And you cannot rely on your wife or your husband or your father or your mother or someone else. You have to talk to God. You have to express your thanks to God and cry out to Him in faith. As J.C. Ryle puts it in his short little book, short little treatise on this subject, he says, "I have a question to offer you. It is contained in three words. Do you pray?" Let's do that at all times, with all supplications, with all perseverance. And may the Lord help us and grant us grace in Christ and strength by his Spirit. Amen. Let's come to our God. Gracious Father, thank you again for your word, exhorting us, calling us into that Christian calling which we have to show our thankfulness to you for all your gifts and blessings to us. Enrich, Lord, our prayers, for it's true, we often are guilty of not growing in our own personal prayer life. Grant to us, Lord, the perseverance that we would come to you with all kinds of prayers at all times and in all occasions, and with perseverance, supplicating for all the saints. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.